We're in the thick of tax return season, so now is a great time to think about stashing some of that return in savings. Do you have a specific goal in mind, a vacation, maybe an emergency fund? It is America Saves Week, and we're talking about it on this edition of On Your Money. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Kevin McKinley is away this week. Amber Miller is with us. She is the Regional Project Director for the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. It provides business education and financing to entrepreneurs and small business owners in the state. She's also coordinator of Wisconsin Saves, which promotes financial awareness and encourages financial action among people of all economic levels. It's part of the nationwide campaign America Saves. She joins us from our studios in Milwaukee. Amber, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So explain for us the thinking behind America Saves Week. What's the strategy here?
Yeah, so America Saves Week actually started in 2007, and it's a campaign that is managed by the nonprofit Consumer Federation of America that encourages and supports Americans to save money, reduce debt, and build wealth. And so what I do is I actually coordinate the statewide effort, which is Wisconsin Saves. And we started that through the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation in the early 2000s. And it's really just changing the mind frame of a nation of spenders to a nation of savers.
Yeah, Americans aren't doing it too good of a job on this. According to this Bankrate survey, about a third of American households experienced a major unexpected expense over the past year, but only 39% of Americans say they have enough savings to cover a $1,000 emergency. Why do you suppose so many of us have so little socked away?
I think it's that, once again, it comes back to being a nation of spenders. We're impulse buyers. We want to buy things that are nice and shiny on sale. And we never think about, what if the car breaks down? What if I have a medical bill? What if I get laid off? So a lot of Americans, the last thing they want to do is put money into their savings account. But when you look at the big picture, it also will alleviate people going to payday loan places or title loan places in order to get that $500 or $600 to do the car repairs. And I think it's just, and that's why America Saves Week does a really great job of just one more step of reminding people, you know, as you said in the beginning of the show, put that $5 in your savings account, put a dollar away each day. So then when something major happens, you'll be all set to cover that expense.
A spokeswoman for America Saves says the secret to saving successfully is surprisingly simple. Have a plan. Why is planning the key?
Correct. It's almost kind of like, and I did a class last night in celebration of America Saves Week, which is meal planning. So a lot of people like to plan out what they are eating for the week or for the month or even for the day, but they don't set a plan or a goal to save in the future. So it's all about setting a goal. So whether it's, you know, saving for college, saving for an emergency fund, a vacation, pay down debt, the first step is to write it down and make a plan so that you can save for the future. But it's just that one step that you have to do, which is just sit down, pen and paper, and map out what your goal is for the year.
Well, some people might have a 401k, or perhaps they've taken out a 529 plan for a child who they, you know, see going to college, but they haven't really said, you know what, I've got a plan here. I mean, they have an account, but they don't. Yep. Do they really have a plan?
Yeah, I still think it's a family affair, especially with the 529 plan. Obviously, that is for the youth for their college savings. But really, the family need to sit down over dinner or not over dinner and think about really how is the family going to come together to make the plan, set a goal, and implement it. So, yeah, just because you're putting money into the savings account really doesn't mean as much as coming up with a plan.
So what does this plan look like and how does it come together?
So one of the first steps then is sitting down and, do you have a budget? So the budget, of course, is revenue or income coming in, expenses coming out. So if you have a household or a single household, you want to make sure that all your expenses are paid. So the rent, the electricity, the car insurance, car note, and then see what money is left over. So if you maybe have $200 left over at the end of the month, what is a portion of it that you could put into the savings account? And one of the things we do, especially when it comes to the beginning of the year. So usually a lot of people have two goals. One is to get your finances in order, and the next is, of course, to lose weight. But really, when we focus on the finances, it's what can you do to cut back? It doesn't necessarily mean you need to cut out. So it's almost like a diet when we say, oh, you're going to go on a diet, you can't eat cookies. We're not trying to do that with the budgeting. It's more of like, so you pay $200 for your cable. What are some ways that you could cut back? You're going out to eat one day a week. Could you go out to eat one day a month instead, and then put that extra money into the savings account? You could almost make it into a game of how much money you could save in a month, but it really does come down to like making a plan and really being serious about it.
We're talking America Saves Week on this edition of On Your Money. Amber Miller is with us. She's Regional Project Director for the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. She's also coordinator of Wisconsin Saves, which promotes financial awareness and is part of the nationwide campaign America Saves. You can join the conversation with your questions and your ideas about savings, your approach at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about saving for retirement or your child's college education? What about that big ticket purchase, like saving for a house or a car, perhaps that dream vacation, that bucket list vacation? 800-642-1234. And what about debt? Are you trying to figure out the best way to do the savings but also get out of debt? Is there that issue as well? Join in the conversation. Send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's spend a moment, Amber, on the issue of debt. Given that 34% of American households had a major unexpected expense in the last year, should that emergency fund, be our most basic and important type of savings, considering that there is also debt on top of that?
Yeah, so officially as of today, there's 17,060 Wisconsin savers. And out of that, the three top goals, the number one being emergency fund. So, there's not a lot of people. A lot of people are still living paycheck to paycheck. But what are ways that you could just put a little money away for emergency fund? An emergency fund, once again, could be the car broke down, tuition is due, you have a root canal you must do. So always think about the what ifs and the bigger picture, which is the stuff that's the unknown. Everybody will have one unknown coming up in their life, and just to be prepared for it so you don't have to put it on a credit card bill, so you don't need to take it out, a loan or borrow it from somebody. It's once again just thinking about the future and the bigger picture.
But if you have the debt, how do we deal with that while trying to build up our savings?
Yep. So what you want to do is list out all your debt. So it could be from credit cards to the electric bill to tuition, medical bills, and come up with a plan to pay that every month. But then also, once again, try to put something away every month if you can afford at least even $25 a month, which is, I would say, realistic within a lot of people's budget. And then also what's great is if you can work with your employer, sometimes they can deposit your paycheck within two accounts. So you could do a larger portion into your regular checking account and then maybe a fraction of it into a savings account. So you never see it, it's not there, and you don't have an itch to spend it.
Yeah. Can you save for more than one thing at once? Because there's retirement or a car, vacation, whatever. But should we be able to can we do all of that and cover the rainy day fund and still save for multiple things at once?
You should be able to. It really comes back to that budget and, can you spend a little less each day? So, I think Americans have gotten used to their Starbucks daily, their McDonald's daily, fast food, a bag of chips here and there. And if you could just look at really what you're spending. So a lot of the clients that we work with, the first step we have them do is track their spending for 10 days. And then we meet with them, go over it. And we're not there to judge them. We're there of just like realizing where where are they spending their money? And we actually call that spending leak. So that's where you maybe go to Walgreens and say, I'm just going to buy this one tube of toothpaste, and you come out with $60 worth of stuff in a bag. So those are the things that we're trying to identify. If you're really serious about saving money, you will find a way to do it. There's two major ways to do that. One is increase income. So could you get a raise at work? Could you find a supplement position, a part-time job? And two is cut expenses. So once again, do you need the Starbucks every day? Do you need the fast food every day? Just little ways that you could just save money will make a huge difference.
Well, there are the spending leaks, and then there are some of those bigger issues, like what if the rent? I mean, the rent is a vast majority of their paycheck, or what if their daycare is a vast majority of their paycheck?
Mm-hmm.
How
yep,
do you...
And it...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. So it's almost like, when you sit with your budget, you always have to pay the fixed expenses. So the fixed expenses is going to be your rent. It's bills that you have to pay every single month. So you want to ensure that those are always paid. The one thing you don't want to do is add stress to your life thinking about where you're going to live because you can't pay your rent. And also, too, if rent is an issue, you could always look at maybe downsizing. A lot of Americans live in, apartments or homes that maybe are too big for them. But it's also, accepting the resources and help within the local community. And I think that's why America Saves is so great, because you can go on, become a Wisconsin saver, and it's absolutely 100% free. You get text reminders, email reminders on just savings tips, just day-to-day stuff that you could do that won't impact your life tremendously where you feel like you can't spend money also on, a luxury.
According to a Money Magazine article last year, Americans are doing a number of things to squirrel away money. Here are a few: ditching cable and switching to streaming services, switching cell phone plans to a less expensive family plan, ending the gym membership and seeking out YouTube workout channels. It is America Saves Week on this edition of On Your Money. Amber Miller is the Regional Project Director of the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. She's also the coordinator of Wisconsin Saves, which promotes financial awareness and is part of the larger America Saves campaign. Your savings questions and strategies are welcome. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. How are you saving for big ticket things, your house or your car? How do you talk with your kids about saving? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation in just a moment here on the Ideas Network.
Get me some dollars and cents, them greenback bills with the pictures of the presidents.
Here's the thing about an emergency savings fund. You never know when you're going to get rear-ended. You never know when you're going to lose your job, have a medical emergency, or drop your tricked-out iPhone in the toilet. I know, right? It happens. We're talking about America Saves Week on this edition of On Your Money. I'm Kate Archer. Can't sorry about that visual, but it's worth talking about. We're learning how to do a better job with saving, especially when it comes to life's bummers, things that are not planned and can come up with a hefty price tag both financially and mentally. Amber Miller is with us, the Regional Project Director of the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. It provides business education and financing to entrepreneurs and small business owners in the state. She's also coordinator of Wisconsin Saves. You can join in with your ideas, your questions, 800-642-1234. What are your stories about saving? Did you meet a goal recently? Let's hear about your savings accomplishment at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We have an email from Kathy who writes, I'm trying to find information for my daughter about consolidating her debt into either one payment or finding out how to get lower interest rates to manage it. She's 30 and has school loans, credit card debt, and daily living expenses. She won't say how much debt she actually has, but I can tell she's overwhelmed. She lives in Chicago and would like to contact someone who is honest and knowledgeable. Do you have any suggestions?
So her daughter actually kind of sounds like my spirit animal. So definitely student loan debt. Credit card debt, of course, is overwhelming because you're paying the minimum amount and not really making a dent into it. There are a lot of nonprofit organizations, definitely nationwide. One is Green Path Debt Solutions, which is a nonprofit organization that has been around since about the 1960s, and they can help consolidate the credit card debt. And then I also really encourage her to call the U.S. Department of Education. So they do have programs that could help her do maybe a possible income-based repayment plan for her student loan debt, and also maybe just do interest-only payments. But once again, it's all about just making the plan, but those are two really good resources. And then there's also resources available at the bank. So those are three ways that she can look into it. But once again, I know it's overwhelming, it's stress, and you're losing sleep, but definitely looking at local resources like a Green Path would be really beneficial to her.
Amber Miller, people love to hear tips on saving and new ideas that they just haven't thought about before. We mentioned a little bit about looking more closely at our cable bills or our cell phone plans. What else is out there as far as tips are concerned?
Sure, absolutely. So, you definitely, cable's one of the huge ones, and I know you've talked about it a few times. My cable bill, I can personally tell you, is $220 a month.
Wow.
But there's ways that you can look. Yeah, I cringe every time I pay it. But you could look at Sling TV, Apple TV, or Roku. So those are just some options where you can absolutely cut the cable. Sling TV, gives you options just to pay for what you want. And I know one of my coworker has it, and she loves it. And she pays $20 a month. You also want to call your credit card company. So, interest rate on your credit card could go up to 25%, and see if they'd be willing to lower it for a few months, just so then you can make a dent into your bill. And one kind of minor one, but it's so major, is there's a lot of people that do not pack their lunch. So on average, people are spending $10 a day on lunch. So if you could pack it just for a week, that's an extra $50 that you could be looking into. Also public transportation, especially in the city of Milwaukee, to drive and with insurance could cost you, $400 to $600 a month. So maybe not relying on your own car, and public transportation can also save you money.
Well, Bill in Superior called in to say that his wife heard about this plan called 52 Weeks of Saving. In week one, you save $1 a week. In week two, $2. Week three, $3. And so on through the year. By the end, they wound up saving about $1,378. Can you tell us about this plan?
So that's a kind of a cool initiative that people have been doing on the internet for many years. But once again, it's just an easy way to save. If you can't commit to an X amount of dollars per month, that you just save per day. And then, towards the end, you save $1. Next week would be $2. And you just keep increasing. And by the end, you'll have over $1,000 within a year, which is a really great way to start for your emergency fund or whatever your goal is to, possibly pay down debt.
So as this week progresses, we're looking at different areas of savings. Is there one area that stands out to you that we should really be addressing?
So for military and also America Saves Week, so this week, yesterday, they have initiatives every day. So yesterday was Save with a Plan. Today is Save the Easy Way, which is automatically. Wednesday is Save for Rainy Days. Thursday is Save to Retire. Friday is Save the Extra. And Saturday is Save as a Family. When I look at these initiatives every day, I actually find them to be all important, but I'm still a big advocate for the rainy day fund or the emergency fund. It's, once again, there's some people who just don't have the luxury of being able to put a lot of money into their savings account, but if they could just commit to a small change every week, that would help then with the emergency fund.
With regard to retirement, how do you go about figuring out how much money you need to retire so that it can be put away and you have enough cash each month? Are there calculators out there?
Yes, there are definitely calculators. Social Security actually has their own calculator. And what's interesting is not a lot of people are thinking to save for retirement. But, you know, the best way to save for retirement is automatically through a workplace or individual retirement account. So, you know, if your employer has a 401 or a 403B, that's something definitely you want to look into. And then, you know, if your workplace does not offer retirement savings, consider an IRA and an individual retirement account. And wherever you're looking to open that at, that they all have calculators online to say, you know, I want to retire at 55, and how much will I have to save every month to do that? And not a lot of people look to the future when it comes to retirement, but you definitely want to take advantage of any matches your employer may offer, and then any resources that your bank can offer too, because the one thing you want to do is plan for the future, plan for the unknown.
What advice do you have for people who might be late to saving for retirement and missed out on years of saving and compounding interest?
It's never too late. So even right now, if you're driving in the car, you're at the office and you're maybe 45 and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm late. It's never too late. Definitely reach out to your employer. You can always up your match, especially with each paycheck. And then you could also look for resources for like a financial planner. I could tell you, you know, my sister, hopefully she's not listening to this. She would never want me to tell her business, you know, is late to save too. And she actually met with a financial planner that's getting her on track to, you know, retire at 62. So it's never too late. You just, once again, have to look for the future and say, you know, when I'm 65, what are my finances going to look like? And, you know, with Social Security being kind of iffy, that's not something you want to, you know, rely on 100%.
Amber Miller is with us for this edition of On Your Money. She's Regional Project Director of the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, and she's also coordinator of Wisconsin Saves, having a conversation about America Saves Week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about approaching saving for retirement or saving for a child's college education? And how are you approaching big ticket purchases like saving for a house or a car? Are you trying to figure out the best way to manage savings and to get out of debt? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Amber, let's talk about buying a house for a moment, which is, as the spring season gears up here, it's perhaps on some people's minds, it's certainly not an inexpensive endeavor. How much money do you think people should set aside before they start thinking about getting into house shopping?
So the first thing, because we actually have a program at WBIC that helps people purchase homes that live within public housing, but the first thing you want to do is actually just take a couple steps back and check your credit. So the one thing, even if you're trying to get a pre-approval, is how is your credit right now? How is your debt ratio? Most banks and credit unions look anywhere between a 620 to a 640 on the minimum for you to get a mortgage, but you definitely want to have at least 10% down. That will help with closing cost, and there's other, you know, there's resources within the local community, depending on your income, that can also help you with closing cost. And then another thing to think about is, once again, the future. What if your roof leaks? What if your hot water heater goes on the fritz? How are you going to pay for that? So even though a home purchase might be one of your goals, you have to look about, you know, maybe an extra $5,000 to $10,000 in a savings account just to ensure that you can cover any unexpected expenses when it comes to purchasing a home.
Seeing hotter housing markets in Milwaukee, where you're based right now, also Madison, some other parts of the state, how do home buyers negotiate that when they know that the market is hot, they're going to be paying more to get in a house? What should they do to keep their heads about them?
So you definitely want to make sure you don't purchase a house that is not within your budget. So, you know, you see a beautiful house, especially in the Milwaukee area, it's probably a little less expensive than Madison, is to purchase a house that's within your budget. Once again, think long term. What happens if you lose your job or or get into a medical issue, how are you still going to pay for that mortgage afterwards? But you definitely want to work with a bank or credit union to negotiate any rates or closing fees. Once again, there's nothing, no is prelude to yes. That's what our president, Wendy Bauman, says. So there's no harm in asking if there's some negotiation based off the fees, but you just want to make sure you do not get into a house that you cannot afford.
Are there some effective ways to save for a larger down payment, especially if you perhaps have a higher rent?
Yep. So so you definitely want to look to see what you can afford within your budget. So if you are paying a little bit higher on your rent, it might take you a little bit longer, you know, to get to that house, but maybe also consider getting a roommate. You could also maybe look to moving back home. I know a lot of people might be cringing when I say that. And also downsizing. Do you really need a two-bedroom apartment when maybe you can only do one or only need one, and then put that extra rent money, you know, into a savings account? So I don't think it's unheard of for people to have high rent and purchase a home, you know, down the road, but you just have to make sure that, you know, that it might just take you a little bit more time. But also the resources within the local community. I know a lot of banks and credit unions have programs to help with down payment assistance, so looking at that also.
And where do you come down on whether the prospective home buyer should pay cash for a house or take out a 30-year mortgage or a 15-year mortgage?
I mean, if you have the cash, I definitely say then you're not in debt. So that would be a really good option. But also it's based on retirement. A lot of people want to retire early and have their house paid off. So they get into maybe a 15-year mortgage instead of 30 to pay it off, you know, be debt-free by the age of 60, 65. But definitely if you have the funds to purchase a house outright, definitely do that. But consider once again is you have to have money saved for the unknowns with the house. And a lot of houses, you know, might need some build out or updates to it. So keeping that in mind when you're purchasing a home too.
So according to America Saves, saving for education is the second most popular goal after saving for emergencies. People choose when they pledge to save with America Saves. There's qualified tuition plans that we talked about a little bit earlier. They're known as 529 plans and the Education Savings Bond Program. Let's talk about both of those one at a time. How do 529 plans work?
So 529 plans are opened, and anybody can open it for a youth and actually anybody going to college also. So you put the money into a savings account and it accrues interest, and then the youth can use it for secondary education. I know there is a big initiative right now through the state of Wisconsin for all state employees that will be rolling out to make that an automatic withdrawal out of their paycheck. So once again, it's out of sight, out of mind. You're saving for the youth's college fund without even knowing it. And then also you can use birthday money. So if the child is 39 and happens to have $300 in birthday money, you can also put that into the 529 plan. So there's nothing to lose with this, but I definitely, you know, not all 529 plans are created equal. So you definitely want to do your homework on those to make sure that it's a right fit for where you see your child going for education.
And what about savings bonds? What's the role of savings bonds?
Yeah, savings bonds, are still around. They're a little bit more difficult to get. I haven't really seen too many people utilize that as an avenue to save as much maybe in the last 10 years. But you definitely could get them. You work with your local bank or credit union. It could sit up for many, many years. It doesn't increase in value, but that could be definitely another option.
We have an email from Donna who writes, if a child does not use the EdVest money for college, EdVest being Wisconsin's 529 plan, can it be transferred to a younger sibling without penalty? And is there a 10% penalty based on money taken out?
So for this caller, I would probably have her maybe do a little research on that. And it's just because not all plans are the same. So I would hate to give her, you know, incorrect information. But I don't believe there is a penalty if you want to transfer it to a sibling, but you definitely want to do some research on that.
So we talk about some of these big expensive purchases. Let's talk to some of these smaller items, like not a car is very small, but it, you know, it can, a used car could be a smaller particular item, vacation or a big screen TV. What words of wisdom do you have on buying things like this?
So the one thing, and I always tell people, is you need to figure out, is it a need or a want? So do you need it or do you want it? So definitely TVs, you know, could be either or, but you definitely want to do your research to check out, you know, what is the best model, who has the best prices. Also check to see if the store has a rebate. Any dollar, any amount of money that you could save would be great. And then also set yourself, once again, that goal, that plan is, how are you going to get there? If the TV is $700 and your goal is to save, you know, that within 3 to 4 month period, how are you going to do it? Is it cutting back on expenses? Is it, you know, getting a part-time job? So once again, you could save for whatever you need to save, but also just question it. Is it a need or a want? Could I buy it used? Could I borrow it? A lot of people like to purchase books, which I think is great, but could you go to the library and rent it instead? So you're saving money. So once again, just setting a plan and then implementing it.
Studies tell us that people with a savings plan, regardless of income, are more likely to spend less than they earn. Living within your means is the best approach to saving money and building wealth over time. We're talking about all aspects of saving during America Saves Week. It's On Your Money. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Kevin McKinley is away this week, and Amber Miller stays with us. She's Regional Project Director of the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, which provides business education and financing to entrepreneurs and small business owners in the state. You can join in this conversation about saving at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about saving for retirement or your child's college education? What about those big ticket purchases like a house or a car or a vacation? Is it a need? Is it a want? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation in just a moment. You're on the Ideas Network. America Saves campaign was launched a little over a decade ago. It's managed by the nonprofit Consumer Federation of America. The goal is to motivate low to moderate income families to save money, to reduce debt, and build wealth. We're talking about all of the variables that factor into how to save on this edition of On Your Money. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Amber Miller stays with us. She is Regional Project Director of the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, and she coordinates Wisconsin Saves. Are you trying to figure out the best way to get out of debt? Do you have a getting out of debt success story to share? Do you have a savings ideas that you would like to share? 800-642-1234. Send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to the phones now with Steve joining us from Stoughton. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning. Just right before the break, you were talking about maybe some lower item purchases, and I was thinking about cars. And so I have an electric car, and while the price point on an electric car is a little bit higher than a gas, you know, car, there are tax breaks that you can get. So it puts sometimes, and dealers have good offers, so that puts you in a maybe a comparable price point to a regular gas-powered car. But the beauty of an electric car is, besides being fun to drive, my fuel costs are about a third of a regular gas car, and the maintenance is almost nothing. So I'm able to save a lot of money each month just on my transportation.
Steve, where do you like to charge up?
So that's the other part. So I charge up at home, and I charge at work, and that's like the majority of my charging.
Does your employer provide a charging station at work, or how does that work?
Yes.
Do other employees at where you work also have electric cars?
There's about 20 people at where I work that have electric cars.
Amber Miller, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm
it. I know my employer also has a charging station, but I think it's a great avenue to take. It offsets the cost of gas. And so in the long run, he's saving money with the tax breaks and also the gas. So I love that idea.
I've noticed some charging stations, too, at some brick-and-mortar stores. I think there's a bank of charging stations outside, like, the Kohl's store near us. So, Steve's a great idea there. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Claudia joining us from Menasha. Hi, Claudia.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I was wondering, is there some law that's changing on our credit cards in October that would affect the interest rate? I received a message on my answering machine that I should do something before, I thought they said October of 2018, before the credit card laws change.
I'm sorry. Claudia, I just want to say I would definitely probably reach back out to your credit card company to ensure that that message is correct. I have not personally heard of anything of the law changing, so you might just want to do a little bit of research, but I would directly call the credit card company because normally they don't leave voicemails.
Yeah, and make sure that message came from the credit card company and not someone or some other entity. Claudia, thank you so much for the call. Amber, so, you know, as we go about this week, we think of, you know, savings happens all year around, but we're trying to bring, you know, shed light on it in one week. How do Americans do with keeping up with savings once they dedicated an account or put together a plan? Do they stick to it?
In my perfect world, yes, they will always stick with it. But, you know, once about 38% of American households report good or excellent saving progress. And what we're trying to do with America Saves Week, once again, is just put it back into their lives of, you know, what's another way that you could just implement it. And that's why I love America Saves, is because the participant will receive free text messages and free emails on savings tips. So once again, it's just one more ping, one more reminder of, hey, you're doing a great job, but hey, here's a new savings tip. So it all starts with the plan, but I also think with the America Saves week and also initiative, it's just another great avenue that people can take advantage of to just get those reminders weekly.
Let's go to Dave now, who is in Eau Claire. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I have a question for you. We just had our first grandchild, and looking ahead to either college or whatever else he might choose at that point, what's the best way to start a savings program for him so that the money is safe, it grows as fast as reasonably possible, but at the same time, it's ready for him when he turns 18.
So I want to say congratulations on the grandbaby, first of all, but definitely look into that 529 plan. Once again, if you go to Wisconsin, 529 plan, it's going to give you all the information. I think that would be your best avenue to look into, especially if the goal is to help the grandchild succeed with college. So definitely look at the 529 plan.
Dave, thanks for the call. And let's talk a little bit about the approach to teaching kids good money-saving principles. What's the best way to encourage kids to save and making it fun because they want it to be fun at the same time?
Correct. And, you know, a lot of children and a lot of now adults did not grow up in a household where money was talked about. So you might have lived, you know, paycheck to paycheck or didn't know that your mom or dad had a savings account, but you definitely want to make it fun for the kids. So you could start off with like a piggy bank, and every time they, you know, do a chore, you could give them money to put in their piggy bank. And also there was an initiative passed through the state of Wisconsin where now more financial education will be into public schools, which is great. So a lot of first time, you know, youth are getting jobs and they don't know what to do with their money. So having that just that extra reminder of, hey, when you get your paycheck, make sure you put it in, you know, a checking or savings account. But definitely with the youth, you want to make it fun. Maybe do a chore list. So every time they make their bed, they can get a few dollars. And so now they're already used to, I get the money, I can save it. And now I want to purchase probably a Barbie doll, but that's okay. Whatever their goal is. But you definitely have to start the conversation addiction at a young age. My nieces, one is 3 and one is 6, actually took the America Saves Pledge, and both of them are saving for college. So it's already talked about in the household of, you know, this is what you should do in life, and also how are you going to get there with saving, you know, the money that you have even at a young age.
But even at a young age, saving for college, that's a big, bold goal that's not very tangible. How do you make money tangible to kids?
Definitely with the, you know, just chores and talking about money, and also jobs at a young age, you know, and also making sure that they're opening the savings account. So my nieces right now do get paid a very minimal amount to do chores, but it's also just making sure that they know later in life that you have to do something, like have a job, do a task in order to get the money to save.
I know my kids were saving up for the vacation last summer, and they too had been putting coins and all of their spare change into their piggy banks, knowing that they would be able to buy their souvenirs. And so once they got all of that change, they went to the bank and were able to pour it into the counter and then get their cash, which they brought with them on their vacation. So then they were able to have some spending power of their own on vacation.
And I think it's really important, too, that you mention, you know, bringing the kids or the youth to the bank with you. I think it's great for them to see how a bank works, having a relationship with their bank or credit union, because when they are older, you don't want them to have a fear of, you know, the bank's going to take my money. They charge all these fees. You know, what am I going to do? So I think it's really great to incorporate those bank visits with your children so they can just be familiar with the bank, how the process is, and how great it is to put your money somewhere safe and maybe not underneath your mattress.
So virtually everybody today has a smartphone. Can you recommend a good app or two to help our kids become better savers, or even apps to help adults become better savers?
So one definitely is mint.com. A lot of people like that one because you could set a savings goal. It'll tell you how to save and how far you are with your savings goal. So that would be one. And then another one would be... I'm sorry, the name is slipping my mind. But there's many apps out there that the children can use on the iPad, on the iPhone. And then once again, America Saves. It's very user-friendly. The youth will get a lot out of it, and also the adults. But anything that you could do to implement talking about money management at a young age can only set them up for success later in life.
Amber Miller is with us. She's Regional Project Director of the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, talking about America Saves Week this hour, getting tips all hour long, and your tips as well. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. What are your tips that you employ in your house that have been able to cause you to save for that specific thing that you're trying to save for? 800-642-1234. Amber, you head up the project of Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. What is your goal there? What do you aim to do?
So I have been in my role for 8 years. We are statewide, so we have an office in Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha. So our main focus is to help people start or grow their business. So that is with quality business education courses, small business loans, technical assistance, and also personal money management. So it could be from I woke up today and I make the best cookies to I've been in business a little bit longer, but not sure what my next step is. Like, how can I grow within my business? And we did celebrate our 30th anniversary last year. And we've been putting, you know, hope and opportunity into people's lives for many years. And some of the businesses actually really excited. We just funded the first cat cafe within the city of Milwaukee called Sip and Purr. So just, you know, giving somebody who never thought that maybe she would have an opportunity. Exactly. So we're very excited about that. But just making sure that people know that there's resources out there. If you have a really great business idea, we're definitely here to support you.
Do women go about entrepreneurism in a different way?
I would say they probably come in a little bit more carefully. They've, you know, thought about, you know, where do I start? What do I do? Will it affect my relationship, you know, with my family? You know, if they're working already, can I, you know, possibly quit my job to start a business? I would definitely say, you know, women probably are a little bit more resourceful. No offense to the men listening, but definitely looking for, you know, resources and opportunity out there to ensure that they're making the right decision on starting or growing their business.
And are the issues that they brought decades ago, are they still the same issues today that they're facing? Or have you seen the challenges evolve out there in starting a business?
Yeah, so when WBIC started in 1987, it was very difficult for a woman at that time to get a small business loan. And it was more of, you know, bring your husband with and, you know, we need to fill out the paperwork together. I do think that women are more empowered right now, especially with the Me Too movement of what can I do to better myself, better my life and better, you know, my community. They're the ones that are creating jobs within the community. They're the ones that are giving other females hope and opportunity. And we're really big on getting networking groups. We actually have a networking group called Strong Women, Strong Coffee, and it's all about getting female entrepreneurs together to talk about issues. So it could be leadership, work-life balance, you know, how can I grow my business? So definitely I think women are more empowered now. Is there struggles? I think there's still struggles, especially with capital, and I feel like that's why, you know, WBIC is there to help them go through the step of opening their business.
But are they finding the capital that they need? Are they finding the angel investors? Are they able to make their cases heard and get the dollars that they need to start these businesses?
Mm-hmm. So working capital or capital in general, I think, is difficult for any startup business. Very rarely do banks and credit unions take the risk of giving somebody the opportunity to open their business. So I would say all around it's difficult, but that's why there's WBIC. There's WBIC in the world that can help. You know, we're a micro lender, so we look at the full picture. We look at the business plan. We look at their story. We look at, you know, what it's going to bring to the community. So I think there's difficulties for anybody who's looking to start a business when it comes to working capital. But if you're definitely, you know, bankable, look to work with your bank. And there's also crowdfunding. There's Kiva.org, which is similar to like GoFundMe. And it's all about helping entrepreneurs up to $10,000. And most of the borrowers come from all around the world, Spain, Australia, just very, you know, interesting for the small business owner. And it is at 0% interest. So there's a lot of resources out there, you know, definitely for entrepreneurs.
If you have a dream of starting a small business, can you save for it?
You definitely can save for it. You know, I always tell people when you want to start a business, you need to make a list of everything you need for the business. So if it's a restaurant, you need chairs, you need napkins, you need cups and all that, you know, especially when it comes to like marketing and working capital. And then also it looks good to put skin in the game. It looks good when you can come to a bank or a WBIC and say, you know, I believe in my small business. I have X amount of dollars to support the small business loan. So definitely you want to save a portion of a part of the loan amount, like 10% or so, if you are looking to start a business.
Well, Amber, we really appreciate you coming in and giving us all of these tips. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And once again, if you want to be an American saver or a Wisconsin saver, go to wisconsinsaves.com.
Amber Miller is Regional Project Director of the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. It provides business education and financing to entrepreneurs and small business owners around the state. She's also the coordinator of Wisconsin Saves, which promotes financial awareness and encourages financial action among people of all economic levels. That's part of the nationwide campaign known as America Saves. And she joined us from our studios in Milwaukee. Financial planner Kevin McKinley will be back next week. On Your Money is heard live Tuesdays at 8. It's rebroadcast Saturdays at noon on the Ideas Network. This edition of On Your Money was produced by Bill Martins. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.